I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview. In this episode of Deep Roots Radio, we're treated to a second conversation with Karen Stedler. She's Farm Beginnings Program Organizer for the Land Stewardship Project. Focused on the Upper Midwest, the Land Stewardship Project, which is also known as LSP, is a nonprofit that has supported sustainable agriculture and family farms for 35 years. In our first conversation, Karen described LSP's efforts to understand and help farmers contemplating retirement and facing the challenge of transitioning their land to the next generation. In this Deep Roots Radio conversation, Karen describes a workshop the Land Stewardship Project has created to zero in on the nitty-gritty issues farmers need to address as they plan for this shift in work and life. The series will take place on three Saturdays, January 20th, February 10th, and March 3rd. And they'll take place in Northfield, Minnesota. Participants must sign up for all three sessions. Karen provides details in this interview. I hope you enjoy it. Karen, thanks so much for being a part of our show once again.
Thank you for the invitation, Sylvia.
Yeah, because what we're looking at is a really large shift change. It's kind of like a sea change within the world of agriculture, really having to do with the fact that farmers all across the nation are now averaging an older age.
That's right. Yep. I was just doing some research, and in Minnesota, it's a little bit younger, but close to 57. So, you know, it's inching up year by year, census by census.
They need to transition away from the arduous work of farming. But the big question is, how am I going to do this? Because one of the things that I'm understanding from our previous conversations with you, Karen, is that farming isn't just a job to transitioning farmers, is it?
It is not. Farming is a way of life. It is a part of who you are. It's developing a relationship with the land, maybe somewhat like you develop a relationship with a child. So you care for it and you nurture and you see the changes and you rejoice in things that work and you try to make things better. And so when you think of that next step, that long-term future, it's with a whole different attitude than one might think of, you know, something that's not as living, I guess.
You know, as a farmer myself, my husband and I began farming really at an age when lots of people retire. So this was a second career for us. And we entered it knowing that we were going to have a small window. Well, that was 9 years ago. So the window is actually becoming smaller yet. And we, Dave and I, really need to take a look at this very seriously. And I'll tell you, even though we've been farming for a shorter period than many people, one of the things that we've discovered is that this is on your mind. It's in your heart all day long. It's not like going to an office and coming home. Your job is your home. And you do develop these amazing relationships with the topography of your farm. And if you're raising livestock, as we do, with the animals that are within your stewardship. And for us, it's become a question of, well, who's going to take as good a care of this land? Do we have to leave our home, or is there an opportunity to lease the land to someone or to some farm couple or family that will kind of take it forward?
Well, I actually am working with a group, a steering committee of beginning farmers, retiring farmers, and a retired banker to help give perspective on this whole topic. And one of the things that came out of our early discussions was that oftentimes people would go to sessions, day-long sessions, couple-hour sessions, And they would feel like there was so much information that would fly at them, and they would get home, and they wouldn't know what to do. They still wouldn't know what to do. And it's in part complex, so that's a reason why they probably, you know, felt that way. But also, we just really felt like we needed to develop something where farmers could actually come, sit with some information a little bit, go home, work with it a little bit more, come back, build on that, and actually create a successive three-session course, which doesn't necessarily get you to the end of the farm transition plan, but it gets you started. That was the big goal, just to help people get started, kind of get over that hump of, you know, all the good thinking that you and Dave are doing and other farmers in your situation, but, like, how do you make the next, you know, practical step from there?
And I'm really grateful for this because I know Dave and I actually attended, when we were first starting to farm, a course that was offered by Land Stewardship Project for beginning farmers. And it really was an excellent way. And that was a course that took place over many months. That was an excellent way for us to ask ourselves some really key questions. It wasn't, as people might imagine, about farm techniques. We did not learn how to put a seed in the ground or how to deal with animal livestock directly, but rather it was about those key questions, you know, what do you want to achieve in life? What kind of relationship do you want with your family? How do you want to deal with your finances so that you can actually afford to send your kids to school and to have life insurance and health insurance? It was those key quality of life questions. And so I'm grateful to see that you've pulled together a course that helps us look at this kind of transition as well. So you say it's a few sessions. What are the dates of those sessions?
The dates this year will be January 20th, February 10th, and March 3rd in 2008. And the courses will be held in Northfield this year. We do try to move the course different places each year.
And how long is each of those sessions?
It's a full day, so 9:30 to 4 each day.
All right. So do you just attend one session, or is this something that builds, it accumulates?
It's a series. So it builds, and the reason we do it is so that people can actually do some work in between the sessions and then come back and build on that.
Ah.
And I will say the course that you referenced, Sylvia, the Farm Beginnings course, is actually the sort of example for how we put together this farm transitions planning workshop, the same kind of idea where you're really deeply thinking about your values and goals and moving through some of the real specific questions, whether it be tax, legal, or long-term care, in order to kind of get the full picture of some of the decisions that you're going to need to make.
You know, and just thinking back to that class that my husband Dave and I took when we were starting out, one of the things that grabbed me and really kept me focused on this, on your course, the Farm Beginnings course, was how practical it was. This was not a lot of theory. It was about the practicalities involved in the decisions and quality of life decisions that you want to make. And so
Absolutely.
I would expect that that kind of practicality, that kind of nitty gritty, is also in this set of courses.
Absolutely. And I think one of the ways that we really try to make sure that that's a part of it, and it's a really grounded part of the workshop, is we bring in farmers, whether beginning or retiring, who are in a transition or who have gone through a transition, people who have experienced good and bad things about long-term care, just to give perspective on what's out there, what people are experiencing. And then also bringing in those experts that are really needed. With this kind of a transition, you absolutely have to take into account the tax considerations. So we have a CPA that comes in. You have to take into consideration what the legalities are. And so an attorney comes in to a couple sessions. And then we try to have, in terms of the long-term care, a panel of people who understand some of the long-term care products that can be purchased, people who are actually in long-term care positions working with retired farmers who are in care and seeing what kind of needs they have in terms of financial issues, and then also the farm families, what they're really feeling themselves. So it's we try to keep it real with the workshops.
You mentioned long-term care, and certainly that's something that is of a concern to anybody over the age of 60. How do I finance good health care, good long-term care? And if you're from a farming community or from a farming family, health care has always been a big issue because it tends to be more affordable if you work off the farm and not on the farm. At least that's the way it is in America today. And so you're just mentioning long-term care is a very big deal for me. And do you find that to be the case when you talk to retiring farmers around the state?
Absolutely. It's one of the biggest unknowns. And I keep thinking about this magical what if. What if farmers did not have to worry about long-term care? What kind of opportunities would that open up? What kind of decisions would they be able to make? You know, if we had a crystal ball, we would know how much we need to care for care at the end, but we don't. And so it's a matter of, you know, asking as many questions as we can up front, looking at our options, and then making the best decision that we possibly can. Mm. And that's what we hope to provide with this workshop, is just some resources and a network of people who have perspectives that can help broaden that topic for people.
This makes me think, Karen, about something that perhaps if you're not a farmer, you may not be aware of. And that is how small a percentage of the food dollar actually goes to farmers. In the way the food system is currently organized in the United States, it's usually fractions, and usually very tiny fractions, of any food dollar that actually goes back into the farmer's pocket. So when you think about things like health care, the farmer is working very often from a smaller financial base than most people would imagine. And that's why so many farm families tend to have one or more people working off farm for the health benefits that can be offered. You've got three sessions coming up. They're going to be happening in Northfield. What's going to be covered in each one of those sessions?
So we start out where we should start in terms of what are our goals and values, deeply held beliefs, because that will really help people figure out what's important to them. And you cannot underestimate really thinking about goals and values, because there will be tests during this transition planning and execution. And if you are able to go back to those goals and understand why you're doing what you're doing, that is a rock so that you can get through some of those ups and downs. So we start right out with that. We try to encourage people to think about communication, another topic which can create some opportunities and challenges, and so really helping people really understand the not only differences that people have in communication, but also the fact that especially if you are working with a son or daughter or bringing in a beginning farmer family that's not related, that there are intergenerational communication differences as well. And so just to kind of lift those things up in a light way. We'll also have a panel of farmers come in that first day, and a tax CPA will be there on that first day to be able to talk about some of the examples, what people are doing, and to answer questions. So that's the first day. Second day, we dig in a little bit deeper with the financials, what kind of financial needs one would have in retirement. And so there's some calculators and things that we introduce that can help people think about the financial piece. And really, it's when you have a clear picture of your goals and then your finances, we feel like that's a good solid base to then start thinking about what some of those options might be. And each situation is going to be very individual and different, yet there are some very commonality pieces that and questions that people are answering and asking that we can really highlight in the workshops. So we'll do a financial piece in the morning, and then in the afternoon we'll have an attorney come in and speak about some of the legal considerations as people are planning for their farm transition. And then the final session, we will dig in a little bit deeper with values again, kind of tying things together, and then really focus on that long-term care piece and have that panel with the long-term care perspective.
Was it hard to get some of these financial experts to work with you on this?
Not at all. We have been really lucky to have somebody who understands farming and finances being a part of our steering committee to help develop this work, but then also present. I have found it very easy to engage people, and I feel like because of the knowledge that somebody has from a financial perspective, that really complements what farmers know really well, which is hopefully their own finances, but also their farming and what the land and their farm is capable of into the future. So I found it to be a really good combination.
Now, do you find that the farms have tended to be family farms? Are they of different acreages and sizes?
Yes, we've had different acreages and sizes. We've had different ages of farmers, some in their late 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. We've had conventional farms, organic farms, sustainable farms, diverse farms, vegetable farms, beef farms, dairy farms, so pretty much a little bit of everything. And I would say that this whole idea of planning for a transition and next step for the farm really crosses all of those sectors. I mean, everybody's thinking about it. And as I said earlier, every situation is unique. Even if you put a dairy farmer and a dairy farmer in the room together, each situation is so unique. And there are lots of things to consider. And yet, I think the one thing that is really important about this workshop is that we limit the size of the workshop so that the participants feel comfortable sharing their situations and can learn from each other and feel comfortable asking those questions. This is really a safe place where people can think about things, they can, you know, ask those questions, they can kind of noodle things around and pose those what-ifs, and there's nobody who's judging, you know, what they're going to be doing or what, even what they're asking the question about.
Boy, that's a really important aspect, I would think, because farmers tend to be fairly independent and tend to want to do well as be perceived as doing well. And so this asks for a lot of bearing some pretty honest information.
I also think that it is helpful for people. I can speak from the people who have attended in the past and their evaluation saying it was really helpful to know that they weren't alone. And sometimes I think that independence that you mentioned about farmers can be a positive and it can also be a negative. And in this case, you know, if you're feeling like you're alone, it just makes it a lot heavier of a burden to carry. Whereas hopefully we can not change the fact that it is complex, because it is complex, but hopefully we can lighten the load and help to get people headed down a path.
Mm. Now, you're speaking from many years of knowledge in this and experience in this, not only individually, Karen, but also because of the very organization that you represent, the Land Stewardship Project. Can you give me a little bit of history about the Land Stewardship Project?
Sure. So we're a private nonprofit organization founded in 1982, and our mission is really to foster an ethic of stewardship for farmland, promote a sustainable agriculture, and to develop healthy communities. And in short, we really want more farmers farming sustainably on the land, and as a result of that, revitalizing rural communities. And a primary way that land changes hands is through word of mouth in a community. And so when a beginning farmer is not from a farming community, and that is the case more and more because there are fewer and fewer farms, so fewer and fewer people are able to grow up on a farm, hearing about those land opportunities before land is sold or changing hands can be a challenge.
Mm.
So that's one aspect of it. I think another aspect of it is what kind of land people are looking for in terms of who's... So a retiring farmer who, you know, has a certain acreage and a certain type of farm, and then some of the farmers that are beginning, is that an exact match, or can a retiring farmer envision sort of a different farming enterprise happening on their land? I think that's kind of a question for the retiring generation, because I think there may be farmers that would be interested in moving on to a piece of property, but may do different things on the land than the current farming family. And to some degree, I have seen families being really open to that and saying, you know, this is what worked for our family, and we're glad we were able to farm this way. And now we see the business plan, we see the enthusiasm, we see the dedication of this younger generation, and they are doing things differently, and that's okay. So having that openness to change, I think, is also going to be a key component looking down the road.
You know, you bring up such an interesting aspect of challenge of all of this, which is the arrangement that you can make in an effort to make that transition. So often people think, well, if you're going to be retiring from the farm, then you just sell it. But that's not necessarily the only option these days. And certainly if you're a new farmer and you're coming into the idea of access to land, purchasing land also isn't the only option. Are you finding out that there's some innovative thinking happening out there?
Absolutely. We have some really exciting ideas floating around, and also people who are really executing some really interesting things. And I think one of the creative ideas that I really like to lift up is maybe the companion farming ideas. So perhaps a retiring farm family still needs income from the farm, and yet want to, in the long run, see a beginning farmer get started. And so perhaps there could be two different enterprises going on the farm that can help support each of the families, and then sort of make transitions from there. So that's just one of many creative ideas that are out there that people are thinking about.
Well, does your course take a look at that notion of housing? I know when you've been on a farm and you've lived in the farmhouse, you don't necessarily want to leave your home as you think about this new use of your land. Is that something that comes up?
Absolutely. The very first day we talk about what are the questions on your mind, and that always comes up. And so the one thing that I hope is not frustrating for the participants is that we don't have the answers. We can raise the questions, and they have to come up with the answers. So we're not going to say this is what's going to solve your housing situation, but we're going to lift it up and say you have to consider a housing situation if a farm family is going to be in an animal enterprise and needs to be on the farm to care for those animals. How, and you have a house and you want to stay on the farm as well, how are you going to accommodate for that? Is there a house down the road that could be rented? Is there another building place on the farm site where you could actually have some another dwelling? You know, thinking about those kinds of things. The attorney will come in and talk about life estate and, you know, what that can do for farmers who want to stay on their farm as long as they can. And that can be written into the selling agreement, that kind of thing. So, yeah, so it is definitely something, Sylvia, that people are thinking about, and really each individual farm family needs to come to that right conclusion for them.
Can you give me again the dates and the location?
I can. It is January 20th, February 10th, March 3rd of 2018 in Northfield, Minnesota. And if people are interested, they are welcome to give me a call or email. My phone number is 507-523-3366. And my email is my last name, Stettler, S-T-E-T-T-L-E-R, at landstewardshipproject.org.
Visit my website, bronxtobarn.com, to download this and past interviews, to learn about my farm, and to reserve 100% grass-fed beef. We deliver to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks.